Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world, and welcome to Optical Nerve. This show is a product of L.A. Beverly Enterprises, and it is the 281st episode of the one and only Beverly Nation, broadcasting live from Roslyn, Pennsylvania. This show is no different than my first show. If you remember, I said back then that this is the type of show that starts out nice and easy, but as we move through it, it may get just a little bit rough. But before we get into tonight's show, I want to wish a very special happy birthday to my main man, Nesta Robert Marley, a.k.a. the legend Bob Marley. And once again, I have to congratulate the Beverly Nation family and Mr. Lonnie Aloysius Beverly on a great first year of broadcasting. For those who missed it, the on-air celebration took place this past day on Dar Henderson's show. And I want to thank someone who's been extremely patient and tolerant of my intense schedule and my Thursday show prep mood, where at times she may have felt slightly neglected. And that person is my mama. I've often discussed mama in many of my previous shows, and tonight I want to have her join in on our discussion. And tonight's topic just happens to be the evolution of a butt whooping and how discipline has changed. Now, you may hear echo because I'm walking into mama's room. And I'm pressing 1, and I'm going to allow Mama to put the phone up to her ear so that she can join us. Now I'm going back into my space so we don't have the feedback. And for those of you who may want to join in, our number is 347-202-0392. That's 347-202-0392. Now, growing up, I heard all kinds of timeless sayings when it came to child discipline, like spare the rod and spoil the child. I think that has been a contributor to many of the problems that we face today in understanding why some of these youngins are so out of control. In retrospect, though I may not have liked it back then, I thank God that I was not spoiled and the rod was not spared. I'll admit that I didn't like the tag team efforts my parents had going on. See, sweet, innocent mama had a serious game going on back in the day. If she told me to do something and I moved too slowly or back-talked her or just plain didn't do what she wanted me to do, she would run to pop. And up until a certain age, I either got the paddle or the belt. During that time, my nickname for my mom was the Tattler. And I remember this one day when my mom wanted me to come home from playing down the street so she could do my hair. Not only did I take my sweet time, but what she didn't know was at that time I was down the street experimenting with cigarettes in front of a neighbor's house. Needless to say, she was super pissed. And that day, she took matters into her own hands, giving me the most memorable mama butt slapping of my mischievous childhood. I wasn't playing with her after that. Do you remember that, Mama?
Oh, do I ever. Yes.
All of your brothers and sisters to grow up with some good home training that they passed on to their children. By that, I mean, I can't remember any of my cousins getting out of control to the point of having major issues with drug abuse or drug sales, incarceration, or any of that other shenanigans. They are mostly in ministry, education, entrepreneurs, entertainers, and all that good stuff. So what form or forms of discipline did your parents use on you and your siblings, Mommy?
Basically, timing out or just deprivation of something that you wanted to do. That was about it. I mean, it wasn't that much physical.
Really?
Right. We were pretty non-physical as a household.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, like, where did you learn how to let such a serious butt-whooping on me, then, if it wasn't something you experienced in your own household?
I watched it happen. I didn't have to participate. To my older brothers and sisters.
Okay, so, like, what kind of butt-whoopings did they get? Was it the belt or, you know, something else?
Well, basically the belt. And basically was it. It was the belt, and some of our neighbor children got other kinds of physical punishment, such as a broomstick, maybe.
You want to elaborate on that, Mama? The broomstick?
Well, back in the day, in the day, parents didn't do too much by way of hand spanking. Okay. And some of the older neighbor children got hooked on the head with a broomstick or something else that they called cat of nine tails. I was fortunate that I guess I missed all that, but I knew about it. And
that's special.
Yeah. That was a very special time. But the kids turned out well disciplined.
Okay.
That's all I can say about that.
Mama, I thank you for being the conduit through whom I came to be. And I thank you for sharing your insights with us tonight. So now go to bed before I tell on you. Love you, Mom.
Love you.
Good night. Just hang on the line. We got some more stuff for you, Mom. Just hang on in there with us, okay? Listen to the rest of the show. Breaking the broom over the head. Now, that may seem a little extreme, but we are talking like the early 30s and 1940s and stuff like that. So, hey, maybe that's something that worked at that time, but hey, let me tell you, that to me is a very interesting form of butt whooping. And my father told me that he experienced that at the hand of his mother. Now, as the story goes, cleaned the house when he got home from school. This included some sweeping, dusting, and wiping down the kitchen and all that stuff. So, one day, my dad was extra proud of the job he had done, so when his mother came home, he was excited about showing off his efforts. Well, Grandma Rose was not the easiest person in the world to impress by any stretch of the imagination. She was one of those white glove dust checker types, and she went through the house inspecting Pop's work. For the most part, she showed no expression on her face as to whether his work was acceptable or not. She finally ends up in the kitchen, checks the countertops, the table, the floor, and then the stove. Okay, still no comment, but then she opened the door to the oven. My dad has forgotten one important step. Grandma reached for the broom and cracked it in half over his head and said, next time, don't forget to clean the oven. An event that he obviously never forgot. So shortly after that incident, he raised his age and made an adjustment to his name and enlisted in the United States Army to get away from her. 347-202-0392. That's 347-202-0392. Make sure you press 1 if you want to join in. How many of you remember the good old switch? For those unfamiliar with this apparatus, this is a piece of branch from a bush stripped of its leaves, averaging about 24 inches in length. Now, by today's standards, this would be known as a green or eco-friendly ass weapon. Interestingly enough, my first, and as a matter of fact, my only experience with the old school switch came not from my parents, but from a neighbor who lived across the street. I'll be the first to admit that as a child living in the suburbs, we would often get bored and created all kinds of things to play with out of things we weren't supposed to play with. All right, well, one day after school, I was playing over at my friend Midge's house. All right, the Channel 6 after school special went off. So what were we supposed to do after that? There's nobody else outside to play with, and the streetlights hadn't come on yet. Yep. We were apparently really bored because the only thing we could come up with to do for play was experiment with Midgey's mom's new carpet sweeper. And, you know, Midge was playing with the end that collected the dirt, and since I wanted to be a tightrope walker in the circus, I walked along the long, shiny handle. Well, being the little chunky chick that I was at the time, I had no idea that the handle wouldn't hold my weight, and it snapped right at the point where the metal was molded to the plastic. Next thing I hear is, "Ooh, you broke it." And talk about impeccable timing. Her mother walked in the door right in between the "ooh" and the "you broke it." So her mom gave me a look that I had never seen directed to me. That special look was something I thought that was only reserved for her children when they did something bad and she sent them off to their room and, you know, sent me home. Well, this particular day, out of fairness for not witnessing me break it, she asked me if I broke it. I wanted to lie so badly and blame it on the snitch, but I knew I had to live on that block for at least 11 more years, so I admitted my guilt. She looked at the carpet sweeper, then she looked at me again and said, "Go out back and get me a switch." I was like Scooby-Doo. Ruh-roh. All right, so I went out into her backyard, grabbed the tiniest branch that I thought I could get away with that probably measured only about 8 inches. And all that did was piss her off even more. Hey, I was the first offender in her house. What? She told her daughter to go get a real switch. And, of course, she comes back in smiling with a neatly stripped regulation-size switch. That was the end of my rear end for that night. By the time I got home crying, she had already called my parents, and they looked at me, pointing toward the steps, smiling, saying, "Good night." That was messed up. But I learned from that point that I really didn't want to be a tightrope walker in the circus. Seriously, the true lesson that I learned from that experience was simple. Respect other people's property. Now, compared to most youngins in my neighborhood, I guess I had it pretty good. Like my mom and her siblings, there was a punishment that seemed to be doled out based on the ages in our house. And from the time I was about 3 years old up until somewhere around 9, there were always older foster brothers and sisters in the house. So being the youngest, when I did something wrong, I got the paddle. The paddle was shaped just like a ping pong paddle, but it was a bit thinner. And it was also made of wood. And that sucker, being the angel that I was in elementary school, I hardly ever got called into the principal's office. So aside from accidentally breaking this boy's arm while we were out playing on the ice and accidentally bloodying another boy's nose when he was trying to push me into the cubbies, my record was basically clean. until I was caught singing this real catchy song that some of the older students came up with about our new principal, Mean Old Mr. Lennox. The song went like this. Hey, hey, what's the matter with your afro? Won't grow into a natural. Come and get your comb. Come and get your comb. Well, like I said, at the time, it was catchy. And I was singing it on our way back into the classroom after recess. Principal was walking right behind me. So he told my teacher, and I ended up having to go into his office. Teacher didn't question him. He grabbed my arm, and off to his office we went. And he asked me a series of questions, and then he told me that I needed to learn to respect my superiors. Yeah. Then he reached into his desk drawer and pulled out the paddle. I'm like, what? I know he's not planning to use that on me. Oh, hell no. So I just looked at him and started to tear up, and of course I apologized. I was so upset, I had to go to the little girl's room. He gave me another scolding and wrote me a hall pass to the restroom, which just happened to be right near the payphone. So I figured while I was down there, I was going to call my daddy because he was bigger and badder than a principal anyway. So within 15 minutes, my daddy arrived at school. He went to the principal's office. He pulled his paddle out of his back pocket and told Mr. Lennox, if anybody's going to be hitting my child with a paddle, it's going to be me. Pop stuck his paddle back in his pocket and left the building. When I got home, he told me, whatever it is that you did to end up in his office, don't do it again. I don't want to have to come back up there. All right, well, cool. At least that day, neither one of them hit me with the paddle. But interestingly enough, there were other parents who became aware of this principal's paddle, and eventually the district superintendent made him get rid of it. That was not something they wanted to be known for in good old Abington, Pennsylvania. 347-202-0392. 347-202-0392. Make sure you press 1 if you want to join in the conversation. All things considered, being the baby of the bunch was awesome with respect to the belt. Now, with other crumb snatchers in the house being older than me, I thank them for all of their screw-ups because I was able to learn a lot without having to feel that belt upon my buttocks. I remember two occasions where I couldn't wait for my two older foster sisters to feel the wrath of Dad's belt. The first time, me and my four-year-old boyfriend, Mikey, were playing under the dining room table. And these two wicked sisters were playing roller derby, skating from the front door into the hallway, into the dining room, and the living room. And they just kept repeating this route, which eventually became my bike route when I got my first 10 speed. But anyway, these meanies noticed how quiet me and my boyfriend were just sitting Indian style under the tables, flopping four-year-old war stories about nasty big brothers and sisters. And they decided to bust our groove. They lured us out from under the table with the promise of candy, which they didn't have. And they started to chase us around the dining room table. Why? Simply because they were evil. Mikey made a clean getaway and ran outside where the foster brothers were playing. And to this day, I don't know what Mikey told my foster brothers, but they came in running into the dining room right in time to witness evil sister hit me in the back of the head with a roller skate case. Thank God I wasn't hit with the metal edge of that heavy old thing because I could have ended up in the hospital or worse. And thanks to the brothers who couldn't stand the sisters anyway, both girls got the belt that night. Let me tell you something. I remember hearing the screams, and I was just happy. I was just hoping that I never had to grow up past that point and graduate, if you will, from the paddle to the belt. I want to pause real quick because we have some interesting late-breaking news here. We have set a brand new record for our show. There are 8,101 beautiful humans joining us right at this very moment. I'm excited. I'm excited so much to the point that I'm about to start doing my stuttering and all of that kind of stuff, but I want to stay focused. I want all 8,101 of you to know that I am so honored. So honored. Please stick and stay. Okay? I'm going to finish this story up here. And, wow, I'm choked up. I am really choked up. And in a minute, I'm going to bring my sister Darlene Lawrence on, but I'm going to get through this part real quick first. Now, shortly after that last offense, the house was basically cleared of most of the mean people, but these two sisters, for some reason, were still here, and, you know, we all had chores. So among the many chores that were assigned to the old head, there was laundry. And it seemed pretty simple. Just wash them and hang them. We had one of those old-fashioned wringer washing machines at the time with the swishing effect going on in the bottom basin part. And what looked like two big fat paint rollers that squeezed the excess water out before you hung your clothes out to dry. Well, my mean sisters figured that since I was approaching 7 years old, it was time that I started taking some responsibility around the house, too, and learn how to do some chores. I'm feeling all accepted by the old head, so this was like a rite of passage for me. For some strange reason, they were being extra nice to me that day. They were patient as they demonstrated the proper way to feed the clothes to the wringer, and then it was my turn. Yay! I'm on my way to getting an allowance and being able to hang with them for real, or so I thought. They congratulated me on a good first attempt and said that I could do more. I was getting so good at it that they started carrying on a conversation, totally taking their focus off of me until they heard me scream. They were scared out of their minds, especially since I would not stop screaming. And they didn't know what to do because when they turned around, they saw my right arm was being pulled through the wringer. Thank God my dad was home and able to run downstairs and unplug the machine. And, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. he had to take a minute to look around for some tools to expand the rollers, which by then were close to my armpit. I don't remember traveling to the hospital, but I remember the doctor telling my dad that I was very fortunate that he was home. If he hadn't stopped the machine when he did, the pressure of those rollers would have snapped my arm right out of the socket. I was blessed to walk away with nothing more than a few red dots all over my arm and a scar that looked like a centipede on the inner side of my elbow, which I still have today. But them wicked sisters, oh, they caught hell for that. They both got extra strength ass whoopings with the belt for not paying attention to my prepubescent safety needs. They spent so much time in the bathroom putting iodine and mercurochrome on each other's welts that I know I had to have been asleep before they finished. Well, after that incident, if I sneezed, they were running around looking for tissues. Main objective, protect the baby. Now, I want to bring my sister Darlene Lawrence on. Darlene, you there?
I am here, my sister. I am loving what you are doing. I am doing good, and I'm loving it.
I'm loving this show because, you know, I'm old school. I'm from that era and that time when you got that butt whipped. Okay. You did something wrong. And as you were saying earlier, it was a time when the neighbor could pick that type of authority to correct it, you know, to correct you. And then when you got home, you just might got it again from your parents because a neighbor had to correct you in that fashion. But, you know, and you're just taking me back when you're talking about those washing machines with the wringers.
Girl.
My hair in that. The washing machine with the wringers, because we sure enough had one. But I have to tell you, my brother, he was always into something. And I remember he frustrated my mother so bad one time. She cut the hose off the washing machine and whipped his behind in the backyard.
It was the craziest thing.
But she just was so frustrated with stuff that he did. And I remember my mom cutting the hose off the washer. She couldn't find a belt would not suffice. A switch would not suffice. She cut the hose off the washing machine and whipped them.
She had to be mad because, I mean, at least with the belt, she'd have been able to still do her laundry. But she cut the hose?
She cut the hose off the washing machine and she gave him a royal behind whipping. Oh, boy, you know, those days. But, you know, I know to a lot of people it sounds cruel. It sounds like you're being mean, and it's not done with malice. Now, some people, of course, you know, they're abusive stuff, but it was not done in an abusive type of way. It was in a corrective type of way, and in the way
that
you spared your parents. I remember buying, you know, me and my little friends, we collected, if anybody remembers, soda bottles. You get 2 cents off a 16-ounce bottle and a nickel off of a quart. And we would go out, get up early in the morning, get our little wagon and, you know, go down the alleys and collect bottles and go to the store. We got like about maybe 10, 11 years old. We want to be big and grown. So we collected up enough money to buy a pack of cigarettes, 28 cents back then, okay? And we bought these cigarettes, and we're walking down the street smoking cigarettes. Not in the neighborhood, like a little stretch away from where we live. And we walked and we were smoking. And time we saw the bus, everybody threw their cigarettes out because we thought somebody's mother or somebody may see us and know us, and we would be in big trouble. And that was like a petrifying. We was afraid. Now, we're trying to be big, shot, grown. But if somebody on that bus knew us, we put those cigarettes away. Because we didn't want anybody, because we knew we'd be in trouble. But when you see our young people so bold and brave in there, they do any and everything right in front of you. There's no more fear. You know?
Oh, no.
It's no
oh,
more
no.
fear of the elder or respect of what the elder may do, you know, in terms of
not
correcting you. It's not that at all. So, you know, I mean, I love this topic. I mean, the evolution of a butt whooping. When I saw that, I said, oh, my goodness. I'm going to make sure I fall out tonight.
I'm so glad
I have to
did.
Listen to this. Yeah, it's
so
a wonderful show. And congratulations
there.
For your record, too. Congratulations for
wow,
the over 8,000 people that have called in. We are growing. You are doing an excellent, excellent, excellent job. And I know you know that. You know what I always say. I want to be like you when I grow up. I say that out of respect because I think you do that. I think you do a wonderful job. And I do so respect you. So not blowing smoke, but out of respect. But this is a wonderful show. Wonderful show. I love what you're talking about. But a lot of people think, because of our race, that we have, you know, used corporal punishment with our children. And the problem in this whole world It should have been some more corporal punishment. You won't have people walking around with their doggone pants hanging off their behinds. You know, you won't have all these other crazy incidents happening. It's not that you want to abuse and hurt your children. You want to keep a certain level of fear in them so that they don't do certain things. The problem with these kids of the day is they are so desensitized to everything that's out there. They're bald and brazen
exactly.
and incorrigible. You can't do anything with them. You try and raise a strap to them, you'll be the one in the coffin. You know,
pretty much.
It's just crazy.
Pretty much.
Yes. It's crazy. And I have
that
to say,
so
you
true.
Know, it just did my heart so well hearing your mom talk tonight. It just, I just loved it. It was
girl.
So cute. It was so cute. When she was saying she didn't have to get no whipping, but she watched her brothers and sisters.
Yeah, because she was the
angel. I thought that was
mom.
So cute.
That's the baby girl right there. The youngest girl out of her crew. We do have another caller on the line. And Sister Darlene, I do want to thank you for joining us tonight and sharing the love. But let's bring on caller number 3 that would be online too. Are you there, caller? Hello?
I guess they accidentally pressed 1. Hi, we're Olani Radio. I just want to come on and say something to you, Aaliyah. First of all, we know this is your last show for a long while. And I'm so glad to see the callers still know that and still give you that respect and give you your record tonight. I'm proud of that. I'm so proud of Beverly Nation as well as Optical Nerve. We're hoping that Sister Love will be back on, hopefully, monthly. You know, I got to get a chance maybe to talk to Aaliyah about this, because, I mean, wow. 82-80. I'm sorry, you just went up. 82-80. that quick you went up 198 people. So, you know, we talking about June? I don't know. I'm hoping you can get back on, hopefully, once a month, you know, from now on, at least once a month, because I think people are loving you. And I'm not trying to put you out there, but, you know, I'm Lonnie Beverly. That's what I do. But I'm hoping that you can get back on, you know, March, April, and May once, because I'm getting a lot of emails. There's a chat. There's a young lady from Newark, New Jersey, Sabrina. Says, Aaliyah, say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. We love you. Come on now. Sign Sabrina.
Y'all expect me to finish this show when I'm, like, sitting here bubbling and just loving the love. Man, thank you, sis. Wow.
Say it ain't so. So we might have to reevaluate. Maybe getting you on at least once a month. We know it's been I know it's a rough situation right now. You're doing a beautiful job. You know, just being there for your mom, because you're blessed. Because you know, my mother's going on to be with God, and I wish I could talk about my sins. I'm gonna do that later on in the program, in my time. But I could definitely say that, you know, let's go to Trevor. Trevor from Cincinnati. I love this chat thing in Blog Talk. Hey, Aaliyah, I'll see you on in March. That quick, Trevor. You just said, wait a minute, Trevor's only saying it because I said it. But listen, Trevor, I will talk to Aaliyah, and we'll hope to get her on at least once a month. I think we can do that. I'm hoping we can do that. Because, I mean, right now, 8311. So we're moving on up. We're moving on up. 8311 now. On the line.
Oh, wow.
And guess what? We still got 25 minutes left in the program. So I'm going to bring on Sister Ricky R. Jones.
What's going on, Sister Ricky?
Good evening. Oh, my goodness. Congratulations, Aaliyah. Oh, my goodness. You are doing such a great job. Well, I have to represent for the younger only child crew. That's who I had to represent for
right.
as far as whoopings.
Hey, watch that, because you know the man, the myth, the legend was the only child too. What you about to say, Ricky?
Well, still representing for the younger crew. I see that. So now, is nothing worse? Well, it's a whole lot worse, but it's already bad enough when you're an only child. because there really ain't too many people that you can blame. You can blame your imaginary friend and maybe your friend if you can get them over the house, but most times you can't blame anybody. So it's you.
Right.
But then the other part of it being the only child is being part of an only child. And this is where the whole community and raising the children, you know, the village and everything else, when you have everybody in the family who's involved with that only child. So just like you were saying, how your father came up and being only child and the only, like the only granddaughter, the only great-grand, the only niece. So it was the only. Wasn't nobody but me. So if I did something wrong, everybody knew about it. I was the hotline. Well, the worst beating I think I ever got community-wise is when you get those whoopings from the person who don't do the whoopings in the family. And you know how they say, it's going to hurt you more than it hurts me? That is so very true. Because I remember as a little girl, I tell everybody, I'm a Mount Airy girl, born and raised via way of 16 from Fairmount. So I spent most of my time with my great-grandparents, both my great-grandmother and great-grandfather. Well, my great-grandmother sent me by a card for one of the neighbors. And you want to talk about a woman who was Jesus Christ incarnate right here, okay? God-fearing, loving woman, everything for everybody in the neighborhood. Going to the store, going to the corner store, yeah, doing my thing. All right, you want to come with me? Let's go to the store. Come on, you go with me? We go to the store. Well, needless to say, I bought the cart because I ain't no fool. I did what I was supposed to do. What I wasn't supposed to do, was let everybody in the neighborhood sign the card first before I brought it home to my nana. I thought, well, everybody knew the lady in the neighborhood, and she's been sick, and everybody knew it. That's what you're supposed to do. Thinking, isn't that what you're supposed to do? That's the Christian thing to do. Mm-hmm. Can't even tell you about that Christian thing to do. Christian do is follow directions. My nana took the bottom of her slipper and beat me from the backyard, through the kitchen, through the living room, through the outdoor, across the street, to the other steps on the church steps, and then back inside the house. Well, that wasn't so bad. The beating was bad. Don't get me wrong. The whooping with the bottom of the slipper, you know, them rugged, cheap, made in wherever, not in America, slippers with them rough bottoms. Yeah. So she beat me with that.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the thing. Here's where the community property comes in. I was so mad at my nana because my nana never beat me ever. Told her I ain't like her. Ooh.
Uh-oh.
Told her I couldn't stand and I wanted to go home. Ooh. Now, this the lady, done, like they say, done raised me up since I was in diapers. Well, by the time she told everybody that, listen, by the time my mother got there, I got a beating from my mother, and my mother had Lizzie. Lizzie was her famous belt. I got a beating from my grandmother, who was my great-grandmama's daughter, who was my mama's mama. And let's see, who else did I get a beating with by that day? I got to think somebody from the neighborhood, too. So it was just the community beating. We don't have too much more of that anymore. And not even the community beating as far as in the neighborhood, but we're talking about within the even own household. Because even within your own family, you have family members who, well, that's not your child and you mind your own business, but that's your sister or that's their aunt or that's their uncle or someone else is an adult here and they should have the authority to be able to chastise their child, especially if it's undercover. My son is 8. He goes to his grandmother's. He goes over to his grand aunt's. He hangs out with his great-grandmother, and if he gets stupid, by all right, if they check him, he's going to get checked when he come home. I'm all for that whole community. You the only child. There's nowhere else you can go but inside your own house and your own family.
Sister Ricky, I thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
It was beautiful having you on the show. And I love the sound and the tonality of your voice. You need to be doing some more things with that. So that's a whole nother conversation for another day. I'm going to move on with this topic a little bit here, if y'all don't mind. And we want to talk about some of today's methods of discipline, which are definitely up for debate in many cultures and communities. And one such method is time out. Some great modern thinkers believe that it's better to place a child in a corner or a space of isolation, especially where other children are involved, like some daycare centers, because you know you can't hit them children unless you want to end up in court. For the conscious child can use this time to process the error of his or her ways and just needs a minute to stop spinning out of control, that might work. But for the child who may be facing difficulties like autism, ADD, ADHD, and other issues, this might not be the best method. As we've mentioned in various shows in the past, addressing mental health issues early can save lives. And if isolation makes a child feel like he or she is being singled out or ridiculed, you may have lit a long-burning fuse that could possibly have some results similar to that of a child that's being bullied. And these days, we know that's a slippery slope because of the culture of child rearing having changed so much. You have to find an effective mode that's not abusive or likely to create the next child who's, you know, ready to shoot up. The next method we're going to talk about here tonight is the cussing fuck. Nothing disturbs me more than hearing an adult curse at a child. Yeah, well, many people reach a boiling point based on the actions or choice of words that a child may use toward a parent. But is it really necessary to use this type of language that they're likely to repeat as a way of mimicking that adult later? I mean, come on. I can't think of anything that a child, we're talking about youngins, let's start with like toddlers, could possibly do to justify some of the language that I've heard in public places when some of these adults control and often begin to berate these children like they're scum on the bottom of their shoe. First of all, if you're cursing at these young souls like they're your peers, you are out of pocket. And if you think this will somehow make them grow up faster and thus move out of your house, nope, it's not going to happen. Unless, of course, this language becomes excessive to the point where other caring, compassionate members of the community hear you and feel the need to file a complaint of verbal abuse against you. And at that point, the cussing fuss adult may just get their wish, and the child might very well be removed from the home. But 9 times out of 10, the verbally abusive adult may now have an ugly blemish on their record, which could affect them in the workplace or other areas that they may have thought such behavior wouldn't ordinarily matter. Before we bring anybody else on the line, there's something that I really, really, really have to discuss with you. And this last area that we need to discuss tonight is straight-up abuse. Let's face some facts here. Just because you can actively participate in the process of procreation does not mean that you are mature enough or capable of birthing a child and helping him or her grow into a productive, rational human. One of the reasons that I do not have any biological children of my own is because of a conscious decision that I made at the age of 18. I had seen enough children left on doorsteps, some abandoned in the hopes that someone would come along and do a more effective job when it came to parenting, you know. I vowed that I would never bring a child into the world before I was ready. I would not raise a child up in the welfare system or as a single parent. So I'm glad God helped me keep that promise that I made to the world. I don't want to take care. Let me rephrase that. See, this is a sensitive issue for me because I love children. My weakness and my passion are children and seniors. So here's the deal. If you don't want to take care of a child that you carry for 9 months, it's real simple. Keep your damn legs closed. Seriously. It's not a joke. There are more damaged children in the world because of non-thinking, wannabe grown and sexy nitwits. Babies stuffed in trash cans, thrown in dumpsters, shaken baby syndrome, and so many other situations that we don't even want to get into right now. It's like, how could anyone do this to another human life, let alone an innocent, helpless newborn? It's just incomprehensible to me. And on some levels, it's understandable that postpartum depression plays tricks on the minds of new mothers who fail to reach out and let others know that they're struggling with these new responsibilities. But it's not always the mother that commits the abusive act on these new little life forms. Now, when a child gets a little older and starts to develop those special little personalities, sometimes there are personality conflicts that lead the so-called adults to coming up with some very creative and often torturous forms of child discipline. So very quickly, I want to share this story of my man Malcolm. He's one of the sweetest spirits you'd ever want to meet. And at only 3 years old, on a regular basis, he was left in an apartment to babysit his one-year-old sister with the expectation that he would take care of her while his mother hit the streets to satisfy her addiction. The one-year-old sister would be confined in a playpen where she'd often feast on a diet of chicken wings and soda. Unfortunately, Malcolm wasn't able to change her diaper, so she'd sit for hours in her own waste. And Aunt became aware of the conditions that these children were living in, and she felt she could do a much better job, you know, of raising them and providing for them. Okay, yeah, she could feed them a healthier diet and provide them with more resources, but did that actually make her the better choice? As Malcolm hit his preteen, like many children on the weekends or holidays, he'd sleep in, and Malcolm slept hard. On numerous occasions, when he didn't respond to these wake-up calls, he'd finally be awakened to the smell of burnt flesh. Sometimes it would be a cigarette burn. But on one special occasion, which happened to be his birthday, this sick, twisted aunt stuck matches between his toes and lit each one as she began singing happy birthday to him. When I met Malcolm, he was in his late teens. By this time, he had lived in several group homes because the only other person within the family that loved him and could possibly give him and his sister the love and support they needed was another aunt. But she could barely help herself at the time because she had addiction issues. So eventually, later on, when Malcolm was, I guess, in his early 20s, he did move in with the addicted aunt. The aunt's a family friend of mine. And, she knew that my cat had just had kittens and wanted one. And I was worried about how she'd be able to feed the cat, knowing what she and Malcolm were dealing with, along with another son that lived in the household. But Malcolm assured me that he would handle it because he was working at a restaurant and made sure that he brought food home for the cat daily, never missed a beat. So I go over there one day. I just want to see this little teeny tiny kitten who by that time should have grown a little bit more. So on this particular occasion, you know, I went to the basement door to open it so the cat could come run up, and Malcolm and his aunt looked at me like, I guess we ought to tell her. Well, the cat had died, but Malcolm took his aunt outside as he dug a hole for this precious little creature and buried him and gave the cat a proper ceremony. So that touched me that Malcolm took the time out to be that gentle and generous for this little life form that he knew they really couldn't do much for, but, you know, he still wanted to show this love. This young man who had been through so much had such a golden heart and such a sweet personality that it was kind of rough when I was at work one day. And his aunt called me saying, Malcolm's gone. I knew she wouldn't lie to me about something like that, so I asked her what happened. Malcolm had moved into an apartment with a group of friends that he met while he was living in a group home. And he fell in love with this beautiful young lady who, in a few months, was going to give birth to their first child. Malcolm started having seizures and stressing about whether or not he'd be a good father because of his childhood experiences. He started having severe anxiety attacks and couldn't take it anymore, so he hung himself. When I received this news, I walked out of the radio station to try to get myself together because there was an interview taking place in the studio with a popular R&B group. And when the interview was over, Helene and Celia Fossot of the group Les Nubians came and group hugged me as if they had known me all their lives and said, "We love you, Princess Aaliyah, and everything is going to be all right." To this day, that sweet, unselfish gesture carries me through many sad moments. And if it was not for their sweetness, I may have given in to my weakness and pushed that abusive aunt right on top of Malcolm's casket as we stood together pouring libation. I'm going to bring the Pattersons on before we wrap the show for tonight. Are you there, Patterson?
Well, they're going to wait for 1 second because I have to come on because for station identifications and such and such. This show definitely is going to go into archives. Baina Lovey Ellis is trying to get on the air tonight. She's had some situations, and she just wanted to tell you she's so proud of you and your record-setting show. And she said, "Girl, you better get on in a month." So, you know what? That's like the fourth person. I will be talking to Aaliyah shortly, okay? Hopefully she can do one show a month. We're praying for that. Because guess what, Aaliyah? I got some news for you before I bring on the Patterson.
And what's that?
It would be 85-71. Great job tonight. This is your best show, and this is going to be the last show for Aaliyah doing it every Thursday. Okay, we're hoping that we'll be talking to Aaliyah, see if she can do it at least once a month because a lot of people love you, Aaliyah, and they're loving you tonight. You know, so word got out. So they said, if we're going to hear Aaliyah love the last time, we better get on it right now. Calm down.
Wow.
Stay calm. This is not going to be Aaliyah love last time. I'll be talking to Aaliyah shortly after the show. All right. Now, basically, before I bring on the Pattersons, I want to say my story, and then we're going to archive and bring on the Pattersons, and we have hopefully the 267-437 number will be able to get on because I see them in person one back and forth. So hopefully this time you'll be able to get on to talk to our flower child. My experience, okay, and then I'm going through station identification. It was in the second grade in Compton, California, and I got mad at my math teacher, Mrs. Fitzgerald. Somehow, some way, she didn't made me mad. She just said something or whatever. She thought my work was, you know, unsatisfactory, Aaliyah. And so my dumb behind wrote on the desk that I was sitting at, "Miss Fitzgerald's a big fat bitch." I don't know what caused me to do that. My mother, you know, remember I said her name was Deborah, right, Aaliyah?
Yep.
Came up to the school, asked the teacher, "Where is an empty classroom so I can beat my son?" She said, it's the classroom right next door. My mother laid tire iron, even though she didn't use a tire iron, but I thought that stretched up like tire iron. I counted all 27 licks that she gave me, and I thought it was over. "I'm going to tell your father." Oh, no. And I was nice all night. "Mama, you my best friend. Mm-hmm. Clean up." At 7, you don't know too much how to clean up. "You want me to cook for you? Sit down, boy. I'm telling your father." I was sweet as pie. And I cried right before bed. She said, "I don't care. We're not bringing up no graffiti artist. And I'm going to tell your father." But during those days, Aaliyah, my father was a robust man. And, you know, and I could always hear him when you go in the bathroom. You know, he grabbed that knob. And so I said, "Uh-oh." I woke up. And so he went into the bathroom. So I went back to sleep. My dad opened the door. Like, okay. I waited for a little while. And so it seemed like those minutes went to 3 or 4 minutes. I said, went back to sleep. Aaliyah, all I know is that the next voice that I heard, I know it sounds like church, the next voice you shall hear. My dad pulled those covers up, tore me up, and that hurt me more because my father never really did that type of chastise. It was more my mother. So when my dad did it, it hurt me more than ever before. Because my dad always would say, "Boy, I'm trying to talk to you. I'm trying to talk to you." He was a very patient man. So when he beat me, if I got beat by my mom 10 times a week, that my dad's one time a year was worse than all the butt whoopings my mother ever gave. But guess what? I grew up during the time, Aaliyah, that graffiti was the art in our hip-hop culture. I never picked up a marker, and I never picked up a cry line to do nothing. Because that whooping was the whooping of champions. Beverly Nation has advertisers through L.A. Beverly Enterprises. You can reach us, our family, the greatest. The names of the Beverly Nation. Reach us right here at thebeverlynation.vpweb.com. Also, we're on Instagram at lbeverly_blogtalkradio. The BevNet. What else? Twitter. And also the greatest social media arm in the world, simply Beverly Nation at Facebook. Any suggestions or comments? I got a lot of comments. Save our Aaliyah. Save our Aaliyah. Calm down. LBeverly17 @gmail.com. Calm down. Save our Aaliyah. I like that, Brittany from Detroit, Michigan. Save our Aaliyah. Lonnie, you're the only one that can do it. You're right. I am the only one that can do it. So I will be talking to Aaliyah Love after this program to see if we can negotiate something, because this is some love right now, Aaliyah. You got to come on at least one day. Let me tell you something. If I can find, I know the days that Aaliyah could come on, we're trying to negotiate either a Thursday, Friday, or a Saturday that will fit her schedule and the way it would be. I'm hoping to still be Thursday night. So we're hoping that she come on the first Thursday of the month, of every month. And then, of course, the next people that I'm going to bring on, I must say they have done a fine job with Beverly Nation. They'll be replacing Aaliyah in this time slot three times a month. We're going to get Aaliyah on that one time a month on Thursday night. But they've done a splendid job. And I want you guys to accept them, because they're bringing a Saturday night following to Thursday night. And they'll be on at 9 o'clock Thursday night Eastern Standard Time. I want you to accept them like you accept Aaliyah, because Aaliyah will be back on at least once a month, every Thursday, once a month. They are known as the Pattersons. Their show is known as the Patterson Opinion. Pattersons, how are you doing tonight? Hello? Oh, hold on. Just get him in. Hold on. Get him on here.
Hey, that does help, Patterson, buddy.
There you go. Pattersons, how you doing tonight?
Okay. Having a lot of laughs talking about childhood memories, man. Oh, man.
Yes.
Yeah, I got one thing to say to her real quick. You should know. It should be, I think it's embedded in every black child that grew up in our time. You don't ever walk in a house with a switch that's less than half your height. Don't you know if you were 5
I can't go four
nine.
Household. I didn't know about that switch.
If you 4'9", you don't walk in a house less than 2 feet. You do. They go pull up the whole tree. I'm the youngest of three boys, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. My mother beat us with anything she get her hands on. My grandmother was a straight switch woman. She grabbed that old beat-up butcher knife and had put a door, that was your tail. Because she go into this one tree we had. And I guess it must have been that same, the switch tree. Only grows in black neighborhoods, you know? And she come back. And you hear that thing cutting the wind. That's it. Give your soul to Jesus because your butt belonged to her. And when you talked about that washing machine, I had the same thing. That big old round tub washing machine with the little wringer on the top.
Yep.
I don't know how many times I had to play with that thing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, geez, I had the exact same thing. I had that little rollers, you had the little lever, you push one way to go forward, the other way to go backwards.
Yep. Well, this was automated. That's what the problem was. It was a newfangled old school wringer washing machine. That's why, the reason my fingers got caught was because I was holding a sock. And I'm turning and looking at my sisters because I'm, like, so proud of what I'm doing, but I forgot to let go of the sock before it got up to the ringer. And that sucker pulled my fingers through, and
you know
my
what?
Arm just kept on going through.
You know what? I used to do that on purpose. Used to put my hand in it because bars would stop. When it got, like, if something got in it, it had, like, I guess a safety mechanism, it would stop. You could pull it out. I used to try to get my hand to go all the way through it, but, you know, I guess I'm
crazy. That's crazy, Pete. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. I don't know
if that's not
true. But our Darlene was talking about the soda bottles. We used to do the exact same thing, except for the cigarettes. I didn't play that cigarette thing. But we used to get the soda bottles, go around, because everybody would throw them out. We'd get a whole bunch of them, go to the store, get our money, buy a bunch of potato chips and stuff, and we go down to the park and have ourselves a little play picnic. That's what we used to do.
That's California boy right there. That's a California boy.
Yep.
We were blessed.
And I tell you, that thing
we
about getting beat in school, our principal had a paddle. And I remember I got in trouble one time because some boy was messing with me. And he talked to us, and he said, if I see you guys again, he pulled out this big old paddle, he threw it on the table. And I was like, okay. And then when we were leaving, he said, oh, Peter, goes, yeah, I'm not going to tell your mother about this. Because my mother worked at the school. And he knew what she would do. So I was like, after that, I was walking around just smiling all day. My mother was like, what's wrong with you? And I said, I'm just in a good mood.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw this one boy, just like you. His mother was up there so many times, I think she had a personal parking space. And she walked.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She told him behind him.
Man, look, it's bad having Christian parents, Peter, because I'm telling you, they believe in the Bible way. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Now, people always will stop with that, Peter and Aaliyah and Precious. They will stop with that verse, but not my parents. Because the next verse, the scripture says, and it shall save its soul from hell. And I was like, wow. Like, after I got a butt whooping, I was like, wow, I feel good. I felt real rosy when I went to sleep. I felt that my mother, no, let me tell you something. Some old folks
you were
the word of God, Aaliyah. Okay? And you knew it was right. You knew it was right. My father was the type of man when he beat you, you know, and Preston, we talked about this. My dad would, you know, beat you and then would talk to you. Like, oh, my God, I just wish you would beat me again. Because the logical talk was worse than the actual butt whoop. And I was like, oh, God, please, Dad, please, just take the strap out and beat me again. Because he would tell me things, and I miss to this day. My dad has been gone now 4 years now. And I miss those logical things. And just that the discipline of good rearing, good parenting. He said, understand that one day you're going to have a child. And everything that you do or some type of characteristic that you got on my nerves and your mother's nerves with, I guarantee you, you will understand by and by when that child comes to you with the same foolishness. I know that. Okay, I'm a child. I am an only child, and I have an only child, and I know exactly what it is. But I am my mother's child all day long, and that's all I'm going to say on that subject.
See, I didn't get that. I got that speech. It was like, I hope you have a child. Your child does exactly to you what you did to me. That's what I.
You know the one thing about that. But Pete, see, my dad being a pastor, you know how that is. You know, he's giving a sermon when he's giving grace. I'm like, oh my God, this food is so good, Dad. He's going to take 2 minutes to pray. But you better be quiet when he's praying. And then you feel like, oh man, then he make you feel like all the children in the world are starving to death. And don't you waste this food.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, I remember that one too.
My dad.
Listen, the Pattersons, I want to thank you. I also want to introduce you guys. You know, I get Lear off this air real quick, but I want to introduce you guys to the Thursday night crew. This young couple, great people of God. I approve their message. So understand, Lonnie Aloysius Beverly I said I approved their message. And I want you guys to welcome them to the Thursday night lineup, okay? And they're going to do a good job for you. Pastor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Aaliyah, we'll get off this air right now. I am the man among men, producer, producers. Lonnie Aloysius Beverly saying good night and good luck. And now for the next 60 seconds will be Aaliyah Love.
They call me the flower child. All I'm trying to do is plant seeds of love and grooviness all over the place. I want to thank all of our beautiful listeners for supporting Optical Nerve and all the Beverly Nation hosts. It's really, really hard to leave you all because we still have so much to talk about. Though I may not be on the air weekly, just remember that I'll always be with you in spirit, and I'll always be wishing the best for you and yours. This show is a product of L.A. Beverly Enterprises, and it is the 281st episode of the one and only Beverly Nation, broadcasting live from Roslyn, Pennsylvania. Love and light. I'll talk to y'all after the fall.